Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals. Hello, and welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. My name's Deb Coviello, and I'm so excited to introduce to you today Julian Hayes II. Julian is an author, a human performance and health optimization advisor, and the host of Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs. His initial journey began in the pursuit of being a doctor, but he left after 1 year to pursue an even bigger dream. Now he helps busy entrepreneurs, executives, and leaders with creating more energy and maximizing their longevity and human performance without the guesswork through leveraging epigenetics, technology, and systems-based thinking. Julian has also written over 200 columns in Inc., along with frequently contributing to Entrepreneur and numerous other publications. Julian, welcome to the show.
Hey, Deb. Thank you for having me on. It is a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, I'm so excited for this because for my listeners, when I first met Julian, actually, I will say a little skeptical because I'm thinking, you know, human performance, fitness coach, but he will surprise you. He will surprise you because he addresses the whole person. And what I find is really unique is that entrepreneurs, business leaders today may hire different people to help different facets of their life. Julian has the whole package and can't wait to share his journey. So Julian, if you could, please share with the listeners a little bit more about your business journey and how have you arrived at this place where you help people in the way that you do now?
Yeah, so I'll briefly brush on my fascination with health started when I was a teenager. You know, I ran into an older gentleman who was much older than me, and he was running up and down the court with us in basketball as a basketball player. And I was just truly fascinated by this guy that he was able to do this because I come from a background where, unfortunately, we have a lot of health issues. We have a lot of diabetes. We have a lot of dialysis individuals, and we've even had amputations. So I really thought that once you got around 30, that your life started to go downhill from there. And so this guy helped change my paradigm. So as I move along through school, I decide I wanted to be a doctor, specifically an ophthalmologist. During that time in New York, it's a huge change for me because I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and New York City. Those are two totally different places. When I'm in New York, I'm meeting all these interesting people that have all these dreams at different coffee shops. And I remember one conversation specifically where she's describing her job. She's describing what she's doing. It sounds like she's combining her passions, her many passions, with something she loves. And that just stuck to me. And I was just like, wow, you can do that. And so I remember sitting in a super long anatomy exam halfway through. And I think some of my other friends were looking up, sweating, worrying about an answer. And I was sitting there thinking, oh my God, I don't think I'm in the right room. I don't think this is going to be it. I took that feeling, and after the first year is over, I came back home to Nashville. I just woke up one night and I just said, I don't think I'm going back. I'm going to combine my many passions of writing and human performance and health into just one thing. I don't have to go to school to do this. And I was so excited to tell everyone, and I got zero people that were happy or excited about it. I think most people were scared. Most people were shocked because I never told anyone that I wanted to write, that I had these visions for writing for different magazines, that I had these visions for being a trusted advisor. You know, I think all they knew was that I was going to school, and school was pretty easy for me. So that was the safe option for me. It's pretty easy. I show up, I take a test, I go read for 6-7 hours a day, and that's it. But it didn't really fulfill me. And so that this venture fulfilled me, even though it was going to be hard. So over the years, through a lot of trial and error, I have gradually evolved into what I do now. And you mentioned at the beginning, I was kind of like that fitness guy who was just talking about exercising and high intensity training and really clean eating. And then just through self-experimentation, through studying, and then my own journey, I realized that there's a much bigger picture there. And so present day, I write for different magazines like Inc. and Entrepreneur, as you mentioned. But more importantly, now I'm truly on this path to helping a lot of high performers unlock their human potential. And I'm doing that now through what we have genetic testing and lab testing, leveraging technology. And a big part of that is wearables that we wear. There's totally many different kinds. And so I'm basically using as much data and technology as I can to truly help whoever I come into contact with, because we're truly an N of one now. And what that simply means is that a lot of times we hear advice, and this is not even just in health, but it's in business as well, that this is the path to take. These are the steps you should take to get X result. But we're really N of one. You know, there's no one like us. We're all very similar. We all have a lot of similar businesses, but there's something unique about each and every one of us. And there's something unique about each and every one of our businesses that we can't just follow a templated blueprint. You know, there has to be a little customization to it. And so that's kind of the space I operate in now.
That's a fantastic story. I have so many directions I'd love to go in there. But I want to go back just a little bit, because you bring up something very interesting. And this is, I would say, for myself and for other people, occasionally we don't show our true selves and our passions. We follow a safe pattern that seems to make sense in the eyes of others. But then having the courage to say, I'm going to go in a different direction and follow my passions. I trust myself. And then you show up to your friends and family and they don't understand. They're not there cheering you on. And that's tough. But I would love to know, however, for you, when did they start cheering again? Because obviously you're very successful now. What was the turning point where they said, you know what? He's doing some amazing work now.
Yeah, I remember one example. I went back to visit New York, my friends, during their semester, and I got my first public writing opportunity. And I started writing for the local newspaper in Nashville, the Tennessean, and they saw my name in there and they're like, oh, wow, I think you must be legit now. And I think we have this thing of that if you see someone's name on something public or some other magazine or something, that you've arrived. And so I think that was the moment they're like, maybe he knows a little something now. Maybe he knows a little something. Because I've told them stories already of I started personal training at a gym before I just moved completely online. And I told them of some of the transformations that we were doing. And they're like, oh, okay, that sounds good. But I think it's hard to visualize if you don't see it or if you're not there with the person. But then you saw this thing with a newspaper. They're like, oh, okay. And then it just kept going. I wrote my first book like 4 years ago, I think now or so. And I think that also helped them to feel more confident about it. And then I think as the years go on and they see that I'm taking care of myself and moving along, that it's going to be okay. I didn't take it as a slight or anything because I totally understand where they were coming from. I come from a mostly blue collar background. My mom worked at a factory. My dad was a truck driver. And so for them, it's all about security. It's all about being able to bring a paycheck home. So I understand that. And I also understand that they saw that me going to school was going to provide that security to always have a job. But when you're starting an entrepreneur, when you're starting this new venture, there's a lot of uncertainty. It's tough. And a lot of people can't handle that. So I challenge myself to see the world through the eyes of them and also through people every day. And so that's kind of why I usually don't snap a lot of times. I pause and I try to see this viewpoint, even if I don't agree with it. So that really helped me along the way.
You know, people, the world, we would all get along so much easier if we would simply just pause and see the world through somebody else's eyes. Because if you can get that clarity, you absolutely can understand, maybe help them to understand the new you or the person that you've always been and are coming forward. And I really love that about you. And you know, I encourage people, if they feel like they're holding back or loved ones or family members just don't understand, please be patient with them. Because, you know, one of the things Julian said was getting yourself published. And I can't advocate that enough. Get yourself published or put your content out there in some way, because every bit of credibility to validate who you are, how you're going to serve the world is so important. And again, give the people time to be your champion and advocates again. So important what you shared. So I'm a tech geek. I love the details and the science. I was a biomedical engineer and I went in a different direction for practical reasons. But I would love to know more about your approach to coaching business executives and a little bit around the epigenetics. It's so fascinating. Can you share more?
Yeah. So I'll quickly just give a brief rundown of epigenetics. And so a very formal definition that you might see in a textbook, which I was very terrible at genetics, actually. I barely made a C. I had to talk my way into a C during the semester. But basically, when you hear epigenetics, it means above the gene. And so, and a more easier definition I like to think of is, picture it being, we have the hardware of a computer. That's us. That's our genetics. And we have the different informational inputs that go into that. That's the software that's going to get that hard drive to run. And when we think about the human body, these different informational inputs that we get from the environment in terms of the foods you eat, the way you sleep, the way you talk to yourself, the way you talk to others, the way you internalize stress, every single thing in the world that we're living right now. These are different informational inputs that we're putting into our body. And on a cellular level, we are epigenetically modifying our genes to turn on or off, kind of like a light switch where you have the light bulb. It stays the same color, but certain actions are going to turn it on, certain actions are going to turn it off. And we have certain genes that you want to turn off, and we have certain genes that you want to turn off. So every single day, you're not going to be the same person. You're constantly becoming a different person every single day. You can move forward or you can move backwards. I don't even like to look at it that way, but it's just an easier way to explain it, that the actions we take today, we're improving as a person the next day, or maybe we're staying the same. But we have a lot more power than we give ourselves to. So oftentimes we hear that this runs in my family, this is my genes. And that's true, because for instance, for me, I mentioned at the beginning that we had a lot of diabetes, a lot of high blood sugar, and I have a high propensity for that. But the key word is propensity. So what that means is that I have a higher probability than maybe another individual to get blood sugar issues quicker. It doesn't mean I'm going to get it. It just means that my margin for error is not as large, whereas other people might have a lower margin of error when it comes to their cognition and their brain, whereas I have a bigger margin for error. So it's truly empowering that you can mold your future by the actions and decisions that you make on a daily basis.
You know, that's really interesting that you say that, because, you know, you may maybe work with a new client and they talk about what is versus what is possible. And what you're helping them understand is anything's possible. You do actually have control over your future. You may have to put more emphasis on certain areas in order to change the course of what your genetics tell you that you should be. But for me, if nothing else, it gives me hope, because you could potentially reverse aging or something like that. But what I'm also thinking, it's really about adjusting your mindset from I can't, I'm not, my family is like that, versus I can, I will, and these are the things that I need to do to get there. So great insight.
Yeah. And the cool thing is, like I always say, to focus on the possibilities, not the problems. And another cool thing about this is that, you know, it's just so interesting that we place these limitations on us. And the language we use, you know, you mentioned the language. And language is a big thing, not even just with our health, but with how we approach the way we do business, the way we approach our relationships. Because just by your language, you can bring on a state of more stress, more fight or flight, more of your sympathetic. It's an underrated reason why a lot of times we feel burned out. It's because of the language we're using, the language that we're talking to ourselves in our head. And we're taking ourselves, we're getting out of balance with that. We're getting out of that coherence where you have your nervous system, your immune system, and it's all connected to your heart as well. And just by your different emotions, you can throw off that balance in the human body.
Again, a simple application of what he said was, you know, mindset, how you show up in the world is everything. And, you know, I'll say from my standpoint, I used to have a very serious face. And always people would say, what's wrong? What's happening? What's going on? And it wasn't natural for me to be in a place of always smiling or simply showing happiness. Little by little, I said, I got to practice that, because I'm getting tired of people saying, what's wrong? What, you know, how are you doing? And little by little, I forced myself to put on a happy composure on my face. And if nothing else, one, it helps people feel more comfortable with you. They see your presence, that you're a happy person. And then it just kind of keeps fulfilling itself. Then you just say, I've got more energy. I feel happy. I'm looking happy. I'm showing up in the world happy. And just those little minor changes in what you do, changes of behavior, changes in mindset, you just show up in the world so much different. So that's fantastic. Let's talk about clients, because I'm curious, you've got tremendous mindset. I love the value that you bring to people. But, you know, obviously you have to meet up with somebody that wants to make a change in how they're performing or how they're showing up in the world. And I'd love to know about any client experiences where maybe you, them came together and they were going through some major changes or transformation. And how did you help them?
Yeah. So I would say just with anyone, no matter who it was, the first thing we do is you really take a deep dive into their story and you really try to get as much data as you can. And it's one thing to look at lab reports and get their genetics. That tells you one thing, but how is this person living? How do they do stress? How do they do their job? How do they do their relationship? So it's really taking all that in. And this is like your manuscript of sorts. And then we're going from there. So one of my favorite clients, and I always talk about her, is and I forgot her condition with her foot, but she had this, she was born with this condition with her foot, so she can't run. She can't do a lot of those typical things that we think about when it comes to exercising, but she wants to get healthier. You know, she's a singer-songwriter, and she just wants to feel more confident, have more of that executive presence out when she's performing. And I remember she came up to me and she's like, "You're my last option. I heard you're a little different." Actually, she said, "You're a little weird." She's like, "I've tried X and X and X, but this is the last shot, or I'm just going to say it's not for me." So this was a really deep dive into how language and emotional health was also tied up, your health in general and how you manifest that. You know, so one thing with her, and I will say this is very specific. So we have these things called GAD genes, right? And it's basically you have glutamic acid and you have GABA. When you hear GABA, think that it's going to slow your brain down, and glutamate is going to excite your brain. So obviously we want both of those at different times of the day. Some people with their genetics or dealing with childhood trauma, that could modify it as well. And so she had both, you know, so she had these traumatic experiences from childhood, which is going to leave those marks on those genes on top of already being that high propensity for that. And I looked at the way she eat. So she had a lot of rice, a lot of grains, especially at dinner time. And what that does is it's going to spike up that glutamic acid. It's going to spike up those incidences of feeling anxious, having trouble sleeping. And what that does is that's carrying over to the other aspects of her life. And so it's connecting not just by the way she's eating, but it's connecting to her business, the way she's showing up in her relationships. So that's why we talk about the system. You got to look at all different inputs to that system of the human body, of you right there. So we make that adjustment right there. And then we work on her mindset, obviously. And she starts learning how to squat. This was so memorable to me because I was actually nervous to work with her because I'm used to having a full arsenal of tools to use. So this really challenged me as well because I had no idea. So I was nervous even if I could do it. And the thing with her, she lost her weight. She did all that. But I remember getting a text from her toward the time that we're done together. And she's like, I started crying today. And I was like, oh no. And she's like, I looked in the mirror and I didn't recognize the woman that I saw. Mm-hmm. It was like this totally different, stronger woman. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And so that was part of the start of realizing that there's more to health than just being like a fitness pro, which is what I was at the beginning, where it's just, you know, working out and all that, just very superficial stuff, that there's a whole big system at play here. Me looking at affecting, you know, the things on the genetic level, yes, that was important, but it was also, I had to address this totally unrelated thing over here in her emotional world, and to also see about how did you grow up, and that can give clues. And so this is why, you know, it's so important to really accumulate as much data as you can at the very beginning to see how this person is experiencing life.
Yeah. You know, there's so much in that. I'm smiling here because I'm thinking about myself, my journey. And, you know, it used to be about having a good career, making sure there was, you know, clothing was done, laundry was done, shopping was done. And I was very activity-based and not really focusing on myself. And ultimately, I probably wasn't very happy with how I felt and how I looked and all of that. And obviously, age and time get the best of us. But there is something there about once you get to a place like your client, knowing that they need some help, and then pausing and doing all the hard work that you've advised based on a holistic approach. But that moment in time where you see yourself differently, because how you see yourself, regardless of, to your point, how much weight you lose, if you still in the mirror see that same sad or unfulfilled person, all that hard work is for naught. And I'll tell you that I'm mentoring a few people. And yes, there are tactical things we can get them to be more fit in the way they show up at work. But I have to hit the mindset first, like, okay, well, then this is easy to be able to give a presentation, collect data, et cetera. But why haven't you done it until this point? And sometimes when we peel back the onion, we find out there's a confidence issue. They are excellent one-on-one, but they don't show up as a whole person in front of a group of people. And until you spend the time, and I love what you say, just getting to know the whole story, then you can really help the whole person.
I love the tactical stuff. I love the gadgets and everything. But, you know, I was talking to a friend and I told him one of the biggest barriers, because I believe that we're truly going to destroy this, what we think about aging, what we think about health span and lifespan. I think we're going to really push beyond the average expectancy of that. But I think the one critical issue that we're going to come into is that the mindset. I don't know if people actually believe it's possible that you can do that, because you've heard so long of what the average is, of what the standard is. And so I think it's breaking out of that mental prison that a lot of us are in.
You know, I'm going to jump back to something that I really would love your perspective on. Before we jumped on the call here, we were just talking about the current state in the world. And I know a lot of people are talking about the pandemic, and, you know, I acknowledge it and then try to just live in my cocoon here. But honestly, there is something amazing happening in the world. Yes, there is sadness and chaos and uncertainty. But you also shared with me a couple things before we got on here that you felt were actually a good thing happening in the world. Could you share with us with that?
I think it's a reset point. It's a prime opportunity to reinvent ourselves, to transform ourselves. I think, you know, if we look back on history, I'm sure there's been a lot of terrible events, a lot of just hard moments throughout human history. But what has happened right after that? You've seen things, new inventions, new economies soar to new heights, and just a lot of inventions. And I think this is a great time for that. You know, I think, you know, where there's chaos and panic, there's also can be preparation and opportunities for growth. And I think, you know, we've been talking a lot about mindset. This is like a prime opportunity for that. This is the perfect opportunity to zig when everyone else is zagging. I talked to a friend of mine, a mentor of mine, and he's 68, 67, 65. I forgot how old he is, because he's performing like a 35-year-old. And he said, I'm going to double down on exercise and I'm going to get in the best shape of my life during this quote unquote pandemic. And I just love that mentality, that you're taking something that's potentially terrible and you're finding the sweetness of it, the slightest glimmer of hope, and you're using that. You're focusing on those possibilities and not the many problems that everyone is talking about around you. You know, there's people who wanted to write books, who've always wanted to write books. There's people who wanted to start businesses. From a business standpoint, everyone is at home now. This is a great time to like just make friends, reach out to people and talk, and just to connect. You can only work so many hours in a day. So I think people are starving for connection. And so I just think this is such a great time for that, even though, you know, it's unfortunate circumstances that are going on. But I just think it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I am busier than ever. And it's not just with consulting clients. It's I am creating like there is no tomorrow. I am a podcast machine. I've got the episodes created all the way into like September at this point. I am developing my own course. I am creating content. And like you say, I am networking all the time. And I truly believe it's going to have a positive impact on my business. But if nothing else, the greater thing that I've looked for is to have an impact on this world. So I love the extra time and the opportunity to do some great work.
Yeah. And I think if I would add one more thing, I think it's, you know, as leaders, I think this is the perfect time for us, you know, to serve. You know, people really need that leadership and guidance right now, that assurance. So I think this is the perfect opportunity for us leaders to step up and really just serve right now.
Yeah. You know, and again, now I'm going to talk to my audience. So I really care about all of you. And just think about what Julian just shared with you. Now is your time. Yes, there's uncertainty, but you have an opportunity to make a choice. Leverage this opportunity. The day you maybe walk back into that office, how are you going to show up? You have an opportunity to do something different, to get a different outcome. It's all with you right now. This is your time. So I'm going to start winding this down, but I would love a little bit more from you, because this program is also about insights and inspiration. And you've obviously shared with us tremendous amount of insight into your way of leveraging and working with the whole person and elevating their performance. But I also look for inspiration. Inspiration are those things that, you know, we're not told what to do. We're not influenced, but something sparks something inside to do something greater and better for you or, you know, humans. And I would love to know, along your career journey, was there a situation or a person that happened to have inspired you?
There's a lot, but just recently, I think about my dad. You know, my dad really inspired me. My dad had a lot of health problems. He always still maintained a smile. And was able to joke. And I remember for the last 3.5 years, I was basically a caretaker, and I was with them every single step of the way. And I would just be in awe of how we can go to the doctor, get a report that's not so good, or he can wake up in a lot of pain and still find a way to joke with me, to just smile and joke with people that he comes into contact with in the community, even though I knew the behind the scenes that he was going through so much. And that taught me a lot, especially when it comes to growing a business, just going after anything, that there's going to be a lot of things that we cannot control, but we can always control our attitude. We can always control how we choose to show up. We can always choose how we approach the situation and attempt to see it. So now when I think about things that are impossible or tough or that I don't like to do, I think about this, the various surgeries and obstacles that my dad has been, that he had to endure for his whole life. So that truly helps me put things in perspective, that what I'm going through, it might be tough to me, but it's definitely not insurmountable. And I even think about, you know, my aunts and uncles and grandparents who I go back on a family tree and just read about them. And I even think about ancestors from like 500 years ago. And I just realized that this point in human history where we are right now, I think a lot of people would kill to be given the opportunities that we have. And so I just have to remind myself that, like, I think this is the best time to be alive. This is the best time. You know, we have so many opportunities. 30 years ago, I probably would have had to go get a journalism degree or something to be given opportunities to write for magazines. And I probably wouldn't have been given the time of day to work with individuals online, to be given the trust, to build up that trust. So, you know, I'm lucky.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point there. One, attitude is everything. How you show up in the world will respond back in kind. So obviously, you had a very positive impact on you. But what I also like is that just your positivity, anything is possible, that so often it's really just us holding ourselves back. I mean, the first time I recorded my solo podcast, I was procrastinating and somebody said, what's holding yourself back? And I said, you know, me, just pushing the button and recording. That's what's holding me back.
I did that too. It's okay. I did that too, because I had this thing with how I sound and I didn't like the way I sounded for whatever reason. And yeah. So that was really a big hang up with me, was to get my podcast started, was to just the solo ones. I just hear myself talk and it's just such a weird experience.
Yeah. I can see a new organization, Podcasters Anonymous. I'm a podcaster. I have a problem. So just so, you know, before I bring this to a close here, I just want to let you know, Julian is an exceptionally creative person and also just a go-getter. You know, he wanted to be on podcasts. He has his own podcast, but he took the opportunity to connect with me in a most creative way. Obviously, he communicated to me through email, but he also sent me a personalized video message, which was absolutely amazing, and even commented on some of my content that I've put out there in the world. So sincerely appreciate that. Take a lesson from that. Find ways to connect with people. You'll have beautiful conversations from that point on. So before we bring this to a close, is there anything else you want to share about anything up and coming or any other thoughts with the viewers before we bring this to a close?
Yeah, I just really want people to kind of, even, you're not going to go from 0 to 100 in terms of like your belief system and the way you take care of your health, but just to like focus on just getting 1% better each day and realize that the only limitations that you have are the ones that you place on yourself. And check out the podcast, Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs. I'm feeling I might create something in the next few weeks. I'm not sure yet, but something's brewing right now that I feel. So I feel like creating something.
I love simmering ideas. You never know if they're going to bubble over or burn or what have you, but we'll see. So if people wanted to connect with you, because I know you're a bundle of knowledge, love your approach to helping the whole person. How can people find you?
Yeah. So my home base is theartoffitnessandlife.com. And I'm on LinkedIn under Julian Hayes II. You'll definitely notice me and the picture and everything. And other than that, just the podcast, Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs. And, you know, feel free to always shoot me an email with any questions. It takes a tribe to succeed. And I definitely reached out to a lot of people at the beginning of my journey just to get some guidance. And so I always love to just serve and give back. That's what it's ultimately about.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Be well. Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.